You're listening to the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. Here, we'll help you unlock the secrets of entrepreneurship and self-development. This is your host, Alex Quinn. I'm a full-stack marketing executive and global keynote speaker. Get ready to get real-world knowledge from top-level entrepreneurs and world-class business leaders.
Hey guys, Randy Zuckerberg here.
Hi everyone, it's Neil Patel and you're listening to Hustle Inspires Hustle.
This is the motherfucking CEO, Andy Frisella. You're listening to Hustle Inspires Hustle with Alex Quinn.
Become an authority and thought leader in your niche. Join a free private community of entrepreneurs and professionals looking to grow their business and optimize their performance. Get easy to learn resources and materials that empower your personal and financial success. Easily accessible for free on desktop and mobile app. Go to hustleinspireshustle.com/app to access now. That's hustleinspireshustle.com/app. Enjoy the rest of the episode. What's going on, guys? This is Alex Quinn, and you're listening to the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. On today's episode, we have Dan Fleshman. What's going on, bro?
How are you? Good to see you.
So, background story for those of you guys that don't know, I interviewed Dan about like 8 months ago in Los Angeles. We were at NetCon and we had this whole video going on. We were recording. And then when we flew back to Miami, all of the files were corrupted. None of the audio worked. I was pretty upset because I was looking forward to Dan's interview, but I am grateful that we got to reconnect now. So thank you so much to Michelle for reaching out to Dan's team and making sure that we could properly set this up. Dan, thank you for your time. I want to take this moment, Dan, to fully connect with you and ask you a few questions based off the background I know you have, specifically in advertising, because most of our listeners are looking to advertise, do have an agency, are looking to advertise their business, and you have a very deep background in the business. For those of you guys listening, I want to go ahead and give you guys some background. Dan spent over $60 million with social media influencers for fashion brands, film studios, and mobile apps. He has clients like Steve Aoki and the Kardashians. So Dan, why don't you talk to me about the importance of maintaining good relationships in the industry, relationships that last a long time, so you could continue to grow your network?
Sure. So what happens is a lot of times people think that they need to have an interaction with somebody or a transaction with somebody right at the beginning instead of later on down the road. Meaning I'm networking all the time, but I may not do something or a transaction or work with somebody for 1 year, 2 years, or 5 years, or 10 years. Too often people meet somebody and they're like, oh, we should do this together today. Hey, let's meet tomorrow and let's execute. They haven't built a rapport yet. They haven't built a relationship yet. They don't like, it's not that time. And so I'm not saying everything has to take years before you do an interaction, but not everything has to be immediate, which is what a lot of people do, especially in cities like LA, New York, Miami. Everybody's like, let's do it today. Let's do it today. And they don't realize you got to build a relationship and like understand what that person needs, what value you can provide, or what you should do together, and you got to let time to breathe. And so networking for me and building relationships is critical, because when people ask me what my main thing is, my true superpower is my phone. Is that anybody you ask me about or any type of industry or business that you need something for, I have something to get them. And like, hey, I need a trademark attorney. Oh, use this guy. I've used him for 20 years. Oh, I need somebody to do this. Oh, yeah, use this person. That's the best warehouse you can get. Oh, I need a clothing manufacturer. Oh, I got a great company. They'll make the clothes for you. And so the relationships are the true superpower.
That's a fact, man. I see that you move a lot in the industry. And not only that, like when I first ran into you and ran into the stuff that you were doing was during Dream Masterminds about a year and a half ago. It was during a December here in Miami. That's when we first met. And look, it's been about what, like a year, over a year and a half. And now we're doing a podcast. So it wasn't instantly that something popped off. But us maintaining that level of communication and us maintaining that line of connections allowed us to sit down right now. So with that being said, I notice a lot that people want instant gratification in a lot of the things that they're working on right now. So if they see that they can't reap the benefits out of a conversation immediately or at least within the first few days, they think that they no longer need to talk to that person or like it's no longer worth their time. And in my experience, I've noticed that a lot of the business deals that I've done and a lot of the relationships I've built haven't come to fruition until sometimes many months and years after. But that comes with trust, that comes with the track record, that comes with people recommending you, that comes with knowing. And I've noticed a lot, specifically in this industry, that there is a lot of people saying they can do a lot of things, but they don't end up doing them. There's a lot of people making empty promises. So it's difficult to connect with people these days. And one of the reasons that I gravitated towards your network and towards the things that you were doing is that everybody that I talked to seemed to have very great things to say about you. And a lot of the people that were moving in your circles had great things to say about you. I remember when I had my first podcast interview with Andy Frizzella, he was my first episode. We talked about how I had coming to your in contact with you and how you guys knew each other. And then all of a sudden, all these people started talking about all the great things you're doing. And I said, you know what? I need to surround myself with people and not necessarily be in the same circle, but learn from, get mentored from people who have already done this. I mean, dude, you're the youngest founder of a publicly traded company, right? So you've been in the game for a long time. You know the ins, the outs, the bullshit. And that's why when I saw you had a book, I jumped in. I read the book immediately. I tried to learn as much as I can because my goal is to be able to grow my business, my agency through relationships. Because at the end of the day, you could have a lot of money. I meet a lot of people with a lot of money. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to do good business, that they have good relationships, or that there's going to be a good outcome. So let's talk about what I just said. You're the youngest founder of a publicly traded company. Tell me how that happened and how that came to be.
Sure. So I first started my company in high school, and I trademarked a catchphrase to make clothing and energy drinks. And then when I was 23 years old, when I decided to take it public, it was about a year and a half of legal work to do it. It's very hard. There's a lot of lawyers, accountants, and auditing that has to happen before you're allowed to go public. And so I focused on that for a year and a half so that we could raise a lot of capital to launch the energy drink at scale. Because our clothing line was successful, we were in thousands of stores, but in order to do an energy drink, you have to have a ton of inventory in the warehouse ready to ship. And it takes 4 to 8 weeks to manufacture and make beverages, right? To bottle, can, ship a beverage, it takes a long time. And so we needed a lot of capital. So that's why we decided to go public. And I was only 23 years old at the time. So it was a bit of a whirlwind those first few years, especially CNN, CNBC, every major platform in the world was interviewing me while I'm still trying to run the company. And so it was very a good distraction because that press gets you more sales and things happen. But it was distracting. I had to go do all that press and constantly focus on legal, accounting, auditing every month. And so what normally people get audited once every couple of years, you are audited every quarter as a public company. And so you have to prepare for that. You audit yourself every month to prepare for an audit every quarter. So you're spending $500,000 a year just in lawyers and accountants extra compared to whatever you normally spend with them. So it's a lot of legal work. It's a lot of headache. It's a lot of that. But the upside is you now have access to public market capital. So like you can go, you want to do buy a water company? Great. Go buy a water company, use half stock, half cash, and you can go do crazy transactions because you are a public company. Oh, you want to go sign some Tom Brady? Great. Give him X amount in stock because you can't afford him in cash. Pay him in stock and just issue more shares based on him. Company valuation will go up. There's lots of things that you can do by being a public company. So it's a fascinating, interesting thing. I wouldn't recommend it unless you're planning on doing a big, something really major.
Yeah.
It's a lot of headache, like a lot. It's so much.
But dude, that's pretty good, pretty crazy that at 23 years old, you were already moving in those circles, moving in that world. I mean, it just goes to show because I run into a lot of people that find themselves in a place where they feel like they can't grow, or they find themselves in a place where they feel that they don't have the right relationships, or they're just stuck. And here you are at 23 years old, which is not when you started. You probably started way younger than that, making moves. And you have a publicly traded company now. Everybody has their timing, right? Everybody has their opportunity to do what they do at different ages, at different times of their life. But I think most of it boils down to determination, really believing in what you want to do, and not just chasing a check, right? Hey, I just wanted to jump in real quick to tell you about how to train yourself in organization, balancing your priorities, developing successful habits, and most importantly, having a better mindset. I'm giving free access to resources and materials on business management and self-development. Go to hustleinspireshustle.com/app to get access. That's hustleinspireshustle.com/app. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter at Hustle Inspires Hustle.
Okay, let's get back into the episode.
You seem very passionate about the things that you do. Now that you have a, you know, you have a big network and you have a successful company, you're also looking to give back to the community, which leads me to Model Citizen Fund charity. Let's talk about that a little bit.
So for the last 8 years, we make backpacks for the homeless with 150 emergency supply items inside. It's about half food and drinks, and half of it is cleaning supplies, a poncho, a watch, games, things to keep them entertained, but also a sleeping bag and things like that. So some of it is going to only last them for a month. Some things will last them for years. It's a 0% charity, meaning I cover all overhead, all staff, all events, all marketing, everything for the charity. I pay for everything. So if a dollar comes in, a dollar goes to a backpack. And that's how it's always going to be for that charity. The reason I did it was I kept donating to a bunch of different charities and not seeing what would happen after the fact. Oh, I raised them $145,000 on a Sunday, big charity poker tournament, and then I give them their money on Monday, and I don't hear from them ever again. Not that they did anything bad or wrong with the money. I just want to like see what did it do? How did it impact people? Did it just go to the overhead or did somebody actually like receive something? So I wanted to keep my charity very simple. I can't cure cancer. I can't cure AIDS. There's people that are working on those things with billions and trillions of dollars that let them focus on that. I want to do something very simple. If I give somebody 14 pounds of supplies, they've got stuff. Is it going to change their life forever? No. But it's my practice for when I do get bigger that I can then deploy real capital to help people with food, water, and shelter. That's really what people need. They need to have a roof over their head, food, and water. And so my practice these years is to, how can I deploy things in an emergency situation? Some hurricane happens in Puerto Rico, boom. One day later, we had two jumbo planes fly out there filled with supplies. Oh,
yeah.
Mexico City earthquake. The girl that runs my charity, she was on the plane pulling rubble off of people 2 days later. Like, we act. And so for me, that's all practice for when we have the money to be able to do this at massive scale so that we're not just sending two planes out there. I can send 100. When I'm just sending some people out somewhere, I can send a boatload of supplies. And so I'm practicing right now until I have the capabilities to do this at massive scale.
Absolutely. That's great, man. That's really admirable. I've been seeing it for a while. I've never had the chance to fully interact with one of the activities, but I've been watching it through a lot of the homies. And it's really cool to see, you know, how, you know, you have a lot of shit going on, bro. You know, you're working on a lot of projects. You're working with a lot of people. You're constantly doing all these things. You're constantly on the road. When it's not coronavirus time, you're constantly on the road. You're always doing events. So the fact that you take the time to do that and not only just do that, but take money out of your pocket to help other people just goes to show that true leadership in that perspective is possible, that you could help other people, that you just don't, I mean, you don't have to just look out for yourself all the time. Yes, you have to make sure that you're not giving from an empty cup. You have to take care of yourself and your family and those around you. But once you find yourself in a place of maybe abundance, or maybe not abundance, but you have the connections or the opportunities, you were just mentioning it. You are able to connect anyone with anyone. You know somebody for everything. Maybe necessarily in certain cases, you don't have to go out there and put a ton of money down, but maybe just making that connection allowed for something beautiful to happen. And that's what I really like about social media and how it's interconnected everybody, because people from across the globe could help each other and provide each other support at the flip of a switch, just at the posting of something. I've seen you do so many great things, like with $100 million mastermind. I know you guys did a ton of raising when it came to that, and I was really impressed with what you guys put together. You see all these masterminds going on around the world and around the United States, which some are great, some are not, but you guys truly go above and beyond, not only to raise money for charity, but you guys go above and beyond to help a lot of young entrepreneurs who seem to be lost or who seem to be maybe sometimes getting taken advantage by other people who don't have their best interest at heart. So it's really cool to see that, man. For those entrepreneurs that are in that situation that I'm speaking about, what kind of advice would you give to them, these young guys that are trying to find their way into a certain social circle or into a certain business circle? What is one great way or a set of ways to properly reach out to somebody, provide value, not waste their time, and really get somebody's attention at the level that you and your friends may be at?
Sure. So the first part is consuming their content, understanding who they are and what they're doing. You don't have to like everything that they're doing, but you want to like the main concept, right? And so if you want to be in the supplement space, you go follow Andy Frisella and those type of characters. You want to be in the self-help motivation space, go look at Ed Milet, Joel Marion, people that are inspiring, religious, family men, right? Consuming the content of the people that you look up to, and especially in the industry. So there, see who they're following, who they're interacting with, who they're posting about. Consume that content too and see why are they close with them, because that their circles aren't that big. Like my actual circle is small. I know thousands of people. But I don't roll with thousands of people. That's not physically possible. So I have a small group that's actually like that you'll see me posting with, right? So understand who they are and why they are. And then figure out what things matter to you and what things matter to them. What I mean by that is if you want to be in the real estate space and you're following Cole Hatter, Clever Investor, Kent Clothier, you're following all these real estate guys, great. Go to some of their events or do a real estate podcast or try to get on their podcast or create your own real estate Facebook group or throw your own real estate event in your local town. Like if you want to be in the real estate game and you're following these guys and you're seeing what they're doing, they're throwing real estate events. They've got real estate podcasts. They've got real estate Facebook groups. Make your mini version of them and see how you can either leverage with them, like do something on theirs, or go on theirs, go to their events, pay for their masterminds, go listen to their podcasts, get involved, whether you have the money or not. Just do the free stuff then. Be involved in that world. That's the best way to consume it, and you're going to stand out. Interact with them on social. Go to their live events. If you go to Cole Hatter's event and you go to Thrive and you're commenting on his stuff, well, guess what? He's going to remember you compared to the 2,000 people that go there and don't interact or don't have a real estate Facebook group or don't have a real estate podcast or don't have their own real estate event in their local town.
Consistency, right? Consistency. And you guys give more than enough opportunities for this type of stuff. I recently noticed that you guys had elevator nights going on and you guys moved it over to digital, obviously, because of the current situation. You want to give me a brief breakdown of elevator nights?
So elevator nights has been going on for 6 years. We've thrown 38 live events.
Okay.
300 to 1,000 people for free. No tickets, no sponsors, no sales on stage, just free. Now, during the coronavirus, every Sunday at 5 p.m., we do it live. We've done the last five Sundays, same concept. It's a dozen speakers, it's 3 or 4 hours, and it's all like either an industry, so we'll focus on fashion, or we'll focus on sales, et cetera, or it's like big speakers. So we did a positive mindset one with Jay Shetty, Lewis Howes, all these big characters. So those are completely free, and they'll always be free. People can just register at elevatornights.com. And I'm going to keep those going throughout the whole quarantine and probably beyond that until we can do live events.
All right, you guys, you heard it there. You guys know where to go. Find some free information. There's no excuse to wanting to learn at a moment like this with people with access to the internet. If you're listening to this right now, you either have a computer, you have a phone, you could get in touch with a lot of the stuff that Dan has going on. Now, Dan, from your experience of all these years in the industry, what's one of the biggest lessons that you've learned that you feel you would maybe want to tell your younger self to look out for? Obviously, with so much stuff going on, with so many relationships, dealing with so many people, you kind of start finding these common denominators that you say, hey, these are things to look out for.
Yeah, I have this saying, it's sign contracts with everyone, including your mom. And I say that, and I don't mean you're going to sue your mom. It's that having a scope of work and having what's called a memorandum of understanding. So people understand, if you're going to do this, I'm going to do this, and this is how it's going to work. I'll give you an example. So let's say your 16-year-old self wants to make $100 this week. You tell your mom, hey, I really want to make some money this week. I'll mow the lawn every single day for the next 5 days. Okay? You mow the lawn every single day for the next 5 days, and then Friday comes around, and she doesn't give you any money. You go to sleep, and you're mad, and you wake up Saturday, you wake up Sunday, and she never gave you any money. Well, you said, I want to make some money this week, and you didn't say the $100 amount, and you didn't say it's due Friday, and you didn't say what's going to happen.
Clarity. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So you're mad at her. She's got no idea. You didn't say a number. You didn't say, she might give you $5.
Or assume you did it to be nice or to contribute to the house or something like that.
She doesn't know. Maybe the dad paid you. Maybe your older brother paid you. She doesn't know. You didn't make anything clear. And so there's a lot of situations where people do things and they just don't make it clear. Let's say Alex Quinn and I make a lemonade stand and we're in Miami and let's call it the Hustle Lemonade Stand, okay? Hustle Lemonade Stand starts this Sunday in Miami. We're going to do it right in front of Fountain Blue. Boom. We crush it. We do $1,300 in revenue this Sunday. Next Sunday, we do it again. This time, we're doing it in front of a different hotel. Bam. We're at an amazing hotel. W Hotel, $1,700. Then next Sunday, we do it again. This time, we do it in front of the One Hotel, $3,000. Alex gets a phone call from Gary V. Says, hey, bro, I'm doing an international tour. I'd love for you to travel with me. Help me run this company. Help me run my tour. And I'll pay you this crazy salary. Alex is like, I can't pass up a world tour with Gary V. I'm out. So he goes, we don't really say anything. I wish him good luck. Have fun. Great trip. And he takes off for a year. The next Sunday, I get this offer to open up one in Atlanta. And now I'm opening a Hustle Lemonade Stand in Atlanta. Then I get bombarded by friends like, bro, I want to open 5 of these in San Diego. Okay, Alex is off. He's in London right now with Gary Vee. The next week, I open up 3 more in Las Vegas. I've got 12 locations of Hustle Lemonade Stands. 13, 14, 22. A year goes by. I've got 59 Hustle Lemonade Stands all over the country. Alex lands back from London. Gets back to Miami. He's like, hey, bro, what's going on? I'm like, oh, man, everything's been great. I got 59 lemonade stands. Does Alex own 50%?
No. I mean, not from my perspective. I decided to leave. We didn't leave things clear and on paper. You had the initiative to continue scaling your time, your money, your resources, your connections, your efforts. I made my decision and you made yours.
So if we go to court, you would win most of the time and you'd get 50%. I could fight both sides.
Yeah.
Listen, I did everything. Just like you just said, I put up the money, time, energy, relationships. I was here the whole time. I didn't even talk to Alex all year long, but I could argue the other side. We co-founded together. The LLC says Hustle Lemonade Stand, Alex Quinn, Dan Fleischman. They did it for 3 weeks. That's it.
Yeah.
Either side could win. Depends on who's got a better attorney at that point. All of that could be cleared up from the beginning. All of it. And so most relationships break up, whether it's boyfriends and girls, girlfriends, employers, clients, etc., over communication.
Yeah.
Because they either don't communicate or they miscommunicate. But not communicating is the worst.
Yeah.
Because if you say, hey, I'm going to do this and you're going to do this, then there's clarity. If neither of you say anything.
Yeah, it's like a lot of the times it's like sweeping things under the rug because we're almost like too afraid to confront certain things. But what we fail to realize is that eventually you're going to see the lump under that rug and you're not going to be able to ignore it anymore. Sooner or later, you're going to have to address the issue anyways. And it's going to be bigger than it would have been if you just addressed it in the beginning. I think that's a very, very valuable lesson, Dan. Now, Dan, to close off, I spent a lot of time reading and my listeners love to get good book recommendations. Do you have any good book recommendations about business or relationships or negotiations that we could potentially hear from?
Yeah. Never Eat Alone. Okay. And the main book is the most cliche one is Think and Grow Rich.
Okay, yeah.
It's just a book that over the test of time, people go back to it and read it multiple times because it's just all encompassing. And the last one I would say is Art of War. Again, it's a very famous book, but it's because when you consume it, you start to look at discussions and strategies and phone calls and meetings in a different light. Art of War explains why this person did this and how you can react. Why, if you do this, then they'll do this. It just gives you that concept about a lot of things in life. And so it's a very fascinating book. And those are the main three I'd recommend.
Now, let's go ahead and plug your book, How to Set Up Your Business for Under $1,000. I read that one on Audible. Very, very cool stuff, man. Dan, thank you so much for joining us here on the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. I appreciate your time. Hope you and your family stay safe, man.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. I'd appreciate it if you could share, leave a review, and subscribe to the show. Visit hustleinspireshustle.com/app for more free resources, event invitations, and online courses to empower your personal and financial success. Learn about marketing, finances, business development, branding, strategic partnerships, and much more. If you're looking to further connect, check me out on Instagram or LinkedIn at Alex Quinn. That's AlexQuinn. See you on the next episode.